Today we're going to talk about the cheerful topic of a matseva. Why? Because a bunch of people were asking me about it, Hakamas HaMatseva recently, so I figured we'll talk a little bit about matseva. The practice to erect a matseva over a kever is a very ancient practice. Gesher HaChaim writes in Perichav Ches, Miyamos Olam, Nohug Lahatsiv Matseva Lahakim Tziyun L'Nefesh. This has been a practice from way, way, way long ago. Kedichsiv B'Torah U'B'Neviyim. It's in the Torah, it's in the Neviim. U'Shlosh HaShemos Yeshlo. He says it's called three different things. It's called Matseva, it's called the Tziyun, and it's called the Nefesh. In the Torah, Bereshis Perik Lamed Hei, Vayatsev Yaakov Matseva Al Kivrasa, Hu Matsevas Kivras Rachel Ad Hayom. The first time we have a Matseva in Tanakh is Kever Rachel, that there is a Matseva on Kever Rachel. And then you have again in Neviim, in Sefer Yecheskel Perik Lamed Tes, and the Mishnah and Shkalim in the second paragraph of Shkalim, and the Gemara calls it a Nefesh al Kivro. Okay, so a little bit of background, that's where it comes from. It comes from way, way early. Who pays for a matseva? Who's obligated to pay for it? The Torah in Siman Shin Mem Ches writes, Motziyun miyorshav kol tzorchi kvurasa bal korcho v'chein kol masha regilin la'asos l'bnei mishpach t'vafilu ha'evin shenostin al kever. That even the matseva should be paid for by the yorshim from the Yerusha, v'hu sheyarshu mamon me'avim, provided that there is a Yerusha, it is their obligation. If there is no Yerusha, so it's the obligation of the Jewish community to see to it that that there is a matseva. Now why? What's the purpose of having a matseva? So two basic functions. Number one, to identify the place of the grave, not only for Kohanim, like you have Rabbi Benayim, Babasud Abdul Ches, marking off the Kvarim, so that Kohanim know where they can and cannot go, but also so that family members can know where to congregate if they want to daven there. Rav Moshe writes in Gus Moshe Yordech, the Dalas Minun Zayinos Aleph, that Yaakov Avinu put up a matseva for Rachel based on the command of Hashem, even though it's obvious that people would always remember where she's buried because she's Rachel Imenu, she's so important. And he goes on to say that the Rambam seems to disagree and holds that it's also to make a matseva on Kivrei Tzadikim because it's a bizayon. It's as if you're saying that they would otherwise be forgotten. The Rambam holds that there's only covenant doing this for regular people, but the first real idea of matseva is so that people can know where to go, can know where the kever is, can identify the kever. Gesher Chaim Peruchav Ches says that it's also kavod to the neshama because the nefesh hovers over the grave at most times, and therefore you are showing it this proper kavod. Rav Moshe writes in that tshuva that the act of kvura itself is not necessarily for kavod, because it doesn't necessarily demonstrate kavod. You do a kvura could be because you have nowhere else to put the body, you just need it to decompose somewhere. So how do you show that the entire kvura was to be mechabed the mace? By making a matseva. That's something that wasn't that you don't really require for your own benefit. That's a kavod for the mace. So when do we put up a matseva? Obviously after the person is buried, but how long after the person is buried? So in the Tshuva Spetzal HaChachem Chel Dal Tzim Tzadizayin, he writes that there are many deos in deos shonos as far as when to do it. The El Yerabe says that the minag is Achar Yud Beis Chodesh. Rabbi Kiveger, I think, famously says that it's Davka Achar Yud Beis Chodesh because we assume that Ein HaMeis Nishtakech Min Alev, that the mace is only forgotten at Yud Beis Chodesh, or the pain of the loss is forgotten after Yud Beis Chodesh, so it should Davka be done after Yud Beis Chodesh. Many have the minag to do it after Shloshim, and yet others have the minag to do it after Shiva. Min Chas Yitzchak Chel Dal Tzim Kuv Zayin Os Beis, he writes that it should be as soon after the Shiva as possible, and he brings a riot from the fact that the Marsham put up a matseva for his wife on Lag Ba'Omer because the Shiva ended on Lamed Beis Ba'Omer. So even though you would think Lag Ba'Omer is an inopportune time to put up a matseva, yeah, but if it's the first day after Shiva, so he thought that that was a more compelling reason to put up the matseva. Now, what do you do at a Hakamas HaMatseva? So the Gesher HaChaim Perchav Tes Os Gimel says that in many communities of family and friends get together on the day of that Hakamas HaMatseva in the Beis Olam, in the Beis HaKvaros, and they say Tehillim. Which Tehillim? Lucky numbers 33, 16, 17, 72, 91, 104, 130. Those are the Tehillim that are identified by the Gesher HaChaim. And then you spell out the name of the Niftar and his father's name with Tehillim Kuf Yotes, and then you say a Kaddish Yasam, and then a Kalmalai, and sometimes some brief Hespedim as well. Now, is there an inyan to make an event out of this, a Hakamas HaMatzeva, what they call an unveiling? So is there such an inyan? Rav Moshe writes in Yaradeh Dalitzim Samach Aleph Oz Gimel that he doesn't remember such a thing in Europe. They never had to. How was Hakamas HaMatzeva done? A guy from the Chevra Kadisha lifted up the stone and put it there. That's how Hakamas HaMatzeva was done. And he said if it was an extraordinarily heavy stone, he'd bring some goyim with him to help him schlep and to help him put up the stone. But there was no family gathering, there was no friends gathering. Rav Moshe says he doesn't remember any such thing. He says maybe in this Medina's America, it's different because they do something, Baravam. Anyway, that's the idea of Hakamas HaMatzeva. So Rav Moshe is not like against it, but you know, he didn't think that there's any real inyan of making a whole event out of it. Doing an unveiling where you actually like cover the stone with a cloth and voila, you know, there it is, that kind of thing. So that there seem to be poskim that are against it. The Stipler in Orchos Rabbeinu calls it a minag balei batim, and then a step further, a minag goyim. Minag balei batim is not a compliment, minag goyim is a way of saying that it's aser, right? So the Stipler was certainly not a huge fan of an unveiling in the literal sense to unveil the monument. In the Sefer Nishmas Yisrael Chel Beis, page Tav Tav Mem Zayin, he writes that there's a real inyan to say Tehillim on the actual day of the Hakamas HaMatzeva. So he thinks the unveiling makes it much worse because you actually had Hakamas HaMatzeva at some earlier day and now you covered it with a cloth and you're going to do an unveiling and that's when you're going to do your event. But the event should be on the day that the Matzeva is actually erected over the Kever. Now, what about certain special days? The Minchas Yisrach El Gimel Siman Nun Aleph was asked if you're allowed to put up a Matzeva on Chanukah, Purim, on Yom Diyom, today's Chanukah, right? Can you do such things? So Minchas Yisrach says, since the minig is that we say a Hespid at the time of the Hakamas HaMatzeva, and Chanukah and Purim, these days are Aser Behespid, so you shouldn't do Hakamas HaMatzeva during that time. However, he says, we do have to deal with the fact that the Marsham writes in the Hakdama to the second chelik of his tshuvas that he did Hakamas HaMatzeva for his wife on Lag BaOmer. In the Sefer Divrei Torah Chelikei Sadiches, the Munkatri says that the Minchas Aluzer did Hakamas HaMatzeva for his mother during Chodesh Nisan. So for that reason, Rav Eliashiv is quoted in the Sefer Tzune Halacha as saying that you can do Hakamas HaMatzeva on those days that are Aser BaHespid. Just skip the Hespid part. Just don't do the Hespid part. So the Minchas Yitzchak doesn't think so. He thinks that you should not do on these days, and he touches up the Maram differently, like the Marsham rather differently, like we said before. That the only reason Marsham did it that day was because he got to do it the day after Shiva, so that's why he felt that it was important to do it on that day. Okay, what about the details of the Matzeva itself? What should it say on it? What can it not say on it? So the biggest discussion in Poskim is about secular dates. Can you write, you know, December 10th, 2018, or do you have to write the Hebrew date on the Matzeva only? So this is a discussion in contemporary Poskim, in Yabia Omer, Chelek Zayin, Siman Lamed Beis, and Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yud, Siman Lamed Vav, and they all quote the Maram Shik, the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, who says that a Beis HaKvaros is a Chatzra Shutfin, and one Shutf can't change the established practice, and the established practice in the Jewish people has always been to only do Hebrew dates, and therefore you cannot do secular dates. And plus, he says the cemetery is a very holy place. People deal with issues relating to the cemetery are called a Chevra Kadisha, and in a holy place we shouldn't be mentioning a date that relates to the birth of Yashka, or the death of Yashka. Now we rely on Mesim to intercede for us, and says Maram Sheikh, they will not do so if we have Averos on full display on their tombstone. This is part of the Maram Sheikh's general attitude towards secular dates. Now there are those that Poskim that would say, you're not even allowed to write a secular date on a check, whereas others are not as concerned about that because it's become more convention just so that people can easily figure out what day you're talking about. In the Kolbo for on Avelus and Simon Hay, Sif Gimel, Sif Gan Beis, he says that if the family insists on the secular date, then it is mutter to do. And that's why you do find many times, at least I see in America, many times they do have secular dates on the Matzeva in addition to the Hebrew date. Can you have English writing on the Matzeva? Let's say you're against the secular date thing. But what about just writing in other languages other than Hebrew? So in Tzitz Eliezer Chel Chav, someone just asked me last week, the father was known by his English name his whole life. He's buried in Eretz Yisrael because he bought a plot in Eretz Yisrael. But everyone knew him as by his English name his entire life. So can you write his English name on the Matzeva in Eretz Yisrael, even though the practice in Eretz Yisrael obviously is they're not writing so many English names because mostly they're burying people who spoke Hebrew. So when the whole family speaks Hebrew. So in Tzitz Eliezer Chel Chavsim Yerbeis, he writes, Kevardanti Bazei, he says, I already wrote about this in many earlier places, and he refers to them, and he quotes Maram Shik, who holds that it's Aser, and he says, it should dafka be Blashon HaKodesh, and he says, if you write Bishar Lashonos Hareu Megane Esameis, and he says that the Maram Shik is Dvarav HaChotzvim Lahavos Eish Kodesh, he's, you know, so felt so strongly about it, so maybe because of that we should be more careful, because the Maram Shik was so strong about it. Rav Avadya seems to agree with this approach as well, but again, you have to look at what the minhag is, and in general, you look around the cemetery and you try to conform to what the minhag is. A person is not supposed to try to stick out and be different, not b'chayav and not la'achar misa either. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about a double stone. You know, sometimes a husband and wife, so they have a single matzeva with two sides to it. So he says, you know, the idea, so one of them dies first usually. So they buy a double stone, they fill in one side, and then after the other one dies, they fill in the other side. Says Rav Moshe, Ein ruach hachamim nochem izeh, ki hu ke'ein kfira chas v'shalom, bebias ha-mashiach, she'mekav manu b'chol yom she'yavu, v'yikbetzeru l'aretz Yisrael. Meaning, if you're planning on dying and having a matzeva, you shouldn't be planning on that. You should be planning on Mashiach coming and going to Eretz Yisrael and not having to partake of that burial plot. And even if you hold that people will die after Bias HaMashiach, after Arichus Yom Harbe, Ad Sheyavos Man Tchias HaMesim, but he said it's not going to happen here. That death is going to be in Eretz Yisrael, so you shouldn't have a double stone over here. So Moshe is not a big fan of it. He says he doesn't think it's an iser, but he doesn't think that it's a great idea. And he says, "Va'afim iftiach le'ishto shemesa, ohi iftiach le'bayla shemesa shelo yisa acheres v'lo tzinas lish ein bedvarim klum im lo yibeshvuni." He says, maybe that's your way of guaranteeing. You told the wife before she died, "I promise I'm never ever going to get remarried." Moshe says, first of all, stupid thing to do. Don't make such promises, and you're not even bound by such a promise unless you took a belashon shavua, and that certainly shouldn't be a factor in this case either. Okay, what about the names on the matzeva? What names do you write? Well, certainly the name of the niftar, but Geshur HaChaim writes that the minhag is to write the name of his father as well, meaning the way you're called to the Torah. Ben so-and-so, and some write the mother's name as well. In Divrei Torah, the Munkacher in Chel Dalar Osadi says that the minhag Ashkenaz is to include the mother's name as well. What about pictures on the matzeva? Have you ever seen that? Yeah. I was at a cemetery recently. What? Sometimes you but sometimes I see like actual pictures, photographs on the matzeva that are like built into the matzeva, super fancy. So pictures on the matzeva, the Tshuvas Yabia Omer Chelik Zayin Simulam Vez Os Aleph brings sources about a practice to make a three-dimensional image on the tombstone and discusses whether that's an isser of making a tzura like that when it's barabim. So there's maybe less reason to be concerned about avodah zarah. And he says, you know, it will become a makom tefila for the family, so that also has to be taken into account. He recommends against it, even if it's two-dimensional. What do you need this on the matzeva? I think we mentioned one of the recent Tamin Allah Hashirim that Chavetz Chaim and Avos Chesed says how ridiculous it is to spend exorbitant sums of money on a fancy matzeva. He says, a whole life many people make the wrong decision of chasing after money and fancy things and nice, and instead of chasing after mitzvot semaisim tovim. And now they're finally dead and they finally see the truth and they finally see what is valuable and isn't valuable, and we're going to go and you know, one last shot, have them chase after Gashmius. You know, it's such a silly thing to do to make a fancy matzeva. Now, as far as the content of what it should say, the Maram Shik in Yerdei Simcha Vayinal says that the minhag is, and this is still the minhag ad hayom, to write Tuf Nun Sadi Beis Hey on the bottom of the matzeva, Tehei Nishmasa Tzrura B'tzrar HaChayim, and also there's a minhag to write something nice about the niftar on the matzeva. In Shuvas Shevet Alevi Chelik Zayin Sim Kuf Tzadidali says the practice is to write Maaseya Matovim, some of the good things that they did, but he says Chalil Lahagzim, you have to be very, very careful not to exaggerate on a matzeva, because that ultimately is going to be the greatest busha in the Olam Emes, that there's this blatant exaggeration about the person's accomplishments. Chachmas Adam and Klal Kufnun Hay says you can exaggerate just like a little bit, but not too much, similar to a hesped, that you're allowed to exaggerate a little bit. Why are you allowed to exaggerate a little bit in a hesped? Isn't it a small exaggeration, a full-out lie? So some of the posts can explain, no, because if you think the person was this good, probably they were a little bit better. You just didn't see the full extent of their goodness. So you could exaggerate a little bit, but not too much. The Tshuvas She'eris Simcha, Sim Mem Gimel, explains that even though there's a machlokes, if someone makes a request, Al Taspiduni, that I don't want to be eulogized, so it's a machlokes whether you listen to him or not, there's no machlokes if a person says, don't write titles or over-the-top things in my matzeva, there's no machlokes. You absolutely listen to them. You do not go against their wishes on that, because when it comes to hesped, there's a machlokas whether it's yakr dechayu, yakr deshichvi, whether it's for the honor of the deceased or for the honor of the living. So the deceased can't be mochel the honor of his family, but when it comes to a matzeva, it's for sure yakr deshichvi. It's for sure only the honor of the deceased, not the honor of the living, and he has a right to be mochel such a thing. In fact, there were many gedolim that insisted on no titles on their matzeva, and people listened. You can find matzevas of gedolim sometimes that don't really have that much on it. In the Tzava, at the end of the Sefer Nachlas Yaakov, he writes, "Ala matzeva sheli lo yichtvu alai lo rav velo gaon." I don't want the word rav, I don't want the word gaon. Nachlas Yaakov, is that the Nesivus? Is that one of the Nesivus' farm? Nesivus has a famous Tzava, I don't remember if he had. So he said, don't write for me rav nor gaon, ki ulai chatasi b'masha kabalti alai li os rav. I may have sinned in accepting to be a rabbi, ki lo yisi roi lezeb, because I'm not worthy of such a thing. Why should my sin be mentioned all the time? That's the person who's a rabbi. Sometimes you feel like that, like you see meet these talmidei chachamim who are not rabbanim, but they're massive talmidei chachamim. Like that's the rabbi, you know? Like you feel like it's a joke, right? So you don't want to constantly bring attention to that. He says, so just write my name and write the names of the svarim that I wrote. It seems to be something that people are mocking, to write the names of the svarim, because even if the sefer wasn't that great, if there was even one proper chiddush, they view it as worth the whole thing, that it's worth everything, even if there's one proper chiddush in the sefer. That's what I mentioned to you. I think Rabbi Maurice Lamb said that he had to write the book about love and marriage, not just about death and mourning, because he didn't want his whole matzeva, so the way he's remembered, to be the death and mourning. You know, he wanted to be known something positive. In the Tshuvas Torah Yekutiel, in Madura Dalit Sim Sadi Gimel, he says Rabbi Kiva Eger requested that his matseva just say, Po Nefesh Harav Reish Akiva Eger. Not Rabbeinu, nothing. And they just couldn't stomach it. So they wrote out the word Rabbeinu, but they left out Hagon, Achasin, and all that other stuff. Harav Rabbeinu Akiva Eger. That's all they wrote. What about protruding letters on the Matseva? The Gemara in Hori Yostaf Yugimel and Beis says that there are three things that make learning difficult. V'yesh Omrim Af HaKorik Sav Sha'al Gabe HaKever. Reading the writing on the Kever is something that's Kasha L'limud. It makes learning difficult. And nobody quotes this Lahalacha for some reason, except for the El Yerabba in Siman Reish Chav Dalid, who says that it's Kasha L'shichcha, that it will cause you to forget your learning. So it seems logical that it's only if you read it out loud, right? Meaning that's what Kore must mean, because there's got to be some taich of this, because it can't mean that any time you read a matseva, you're going to forget your learning. It's like, why do we write on them then? Meaning, obviously, it's meant for someone to read them. So maybe it means only if you read it out loud. In the Tshuvas Pitzela Chachma, Chelek Hei Sim L'Chafos Gimel, he writes that the Mashas Kasev the Sefer Nagdu Mitzvah the Daf Ksav Shal Gabei Matseva Bosios Boltos Kasha L'Limud. He says, no. The Kasha L'Limud is only if the letters protrude, if they're like embossed on the matseva. But how do we do matsevas when we write in them? We engrave. So engraved letters, he says, that's no problem. But he says, well, we don't really have a remez in Shas for that distinction between embossed and engraved letters, but that must be what it means. This is one of the halachas that's mentioned in the Sefer Omer HaShichacha. Omer HaShicha is a book of a collection of all of the halachas that appear in the Gemara that for one reason or another the Shulchan Aruch forgot to mention. So Omer HaShicha, Omer with an Aleph. You know, it's cute, it's a play on words. So he says that which was forgotten. But anyway, we try not to, we don't have that embossed letters anyway, so we do read Kvarim when necessary. Okay.